Of church, and specifically we're going to be talking about Sunday morning church. You know, church is sort of a broad term that can mean a lot of things for us, but we kind of needed to narrow it and talk about something that can be challenging if you're moms with young kids, which is getting out the door at a early hour looking nice for church. That's hard to do. So that's kind of what we wanted to talk about. You know, it's a mad dash to get there. And attending Sunday morning services is a vital part of the Christian life. You know, that's something that we work towards. We don't always succeed at, but we kind of wanted to hear from these ladies as to what they have found to be helpful and to be a blessing for them when it comes to Sunday morning services. So, ladies, as you know, our theme verse for this year is talking about rest. So can you tell me how on earth is, you know, kind of the chaos of getting to church, and sometimes even at church, how can that be restful for us?
And then we're going to pass this all around for whoever wants to.
Okay, so when we were talking about this, I was going to go first, and then they're actually going to give some definitions for both the words. So I feel like that's a little out of order at this point, but we had a plan, so we're going to stick to it. I was thinking back to the number of days when I felt like necessary to get out of the house. And then at one point it dawned on me that I was willing to do all that work for a play date or to get to my parents or whatever, and I needed to do that same effort to get to church. And so we're willing to push through all the things and like, we'll be flexible with a nap on this day, or we can, you know, but that really needs to be, you know, a priority for the Lord before it's a priority socially. And so that was a challenge to me. And then the other thing was that even if I kept all of those things in place, like getting everyone dressed or, you know, making sure everybody had naps and we kept our meal schedule going and all those things, that didn't necessarily promise rest at all. All those things can go exactly right if you do not feel filled. And the Lord can do that, right? And he does that in a special way on Sunday mornings, I think. So that was part of the practical.
And of course, anywhere we go in life, there is not really rest. There's no finished job, right? In our house, there's always another load of laundry or another dish to put in the dishwasher. But I think with our Christian walk, something that's so unique is that our rest is found in Christ. And so we celebrate that every Sunday, that when we come to church, we think there is a finished work, and that work has been paid on the cross. And just thinking about how Christ took on our sins, he bore the wrath, he paid for our sins completely, so we don't have to work out our salvation anymore. Our salvation is completely kept and paid in him. And so coming to church is a reminder that our work is finished. We come to church as a way to celebrate Christ and what he's done, and then we get to enjoy hearing the teaching of the word and worshiping him in thankfulness and seeing the giftedness in other believers. So it's a time of celebration. I think that's a form of rest.
So I will say quite honestly, Sunday is my most tiring day of the week. Can anybody else relate to that? I mean, really, the rest for me on Sunday is I take a nap on Sunday afternoons. But you know, when we're talking about rest, we're not necessarily talking about just a nap, or even a day off, or a break from routine, maybe a day with a girlfriend away. But those things are important, but we're talking about soul rest, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And if you think about the pattern in creation, God worked for 6 days. 6 days shall you labor, the seventh is the Lord's day, right? And there's this pattern in creation of God pausing to observe what he had made. And we do the same thing. Really, the Sabbath rest that we have, that we need as a part of our rhythm of each week, is to pause and remember, he is the creator, I am the creation. Mm-hmm. So we reset our identity, don't we? We go back to, oh yeah, I am dependent on him. He created me, he sustains me, and so I'm dependent on him. So it really has a lot to do with resetting our identity and our perspective. Worship is good for my soul. I stand and I sing next to other friends, people standing next to me that I don't know, but we're singing the same words together and we're embracing the same truth. I will tell you, there are many times, those of you in the choir probably see me standing there crying sometimes because it touches my soul so deeply. So it's more of a soul rest that we get on Sundays. We regain perspective and we worship. My soul finds rest in God alone.
I love that reminder that it's at the end of the day, church is not actually about us. It is about refocusing ourselves, not about what, you know, it really isn't even what we're going to get out of it. It's going and it's celebrating the Lord and reminding ourselves that we're finished in Him. That was, we don't have to do anything else beyond that. So, you know, when you're looking at it, you know, from kind of our perspective is that we all have younger kids. And so you have kids that are, you know, not born yet up through, you know, however old the kids are in elementary school. But can you tell us, when you had kids this age, when you had young kids, how did you show or model the importance of Sunday morning church to your kids during that time?
Well, you all are doing it. You're here. And so you're doing a good job already. You probably were there Sunday and you're here tonight. It's really impressive. I think it's what we love. We do what we love, right? Your kids probably know a lot about you. They know your favorite food. If you have a toddler, you probably know. They know a lot about mom drinks coffee in the morning. They know little things about you, right? They pick that up by watching you. You don't have to say, I like coffee. They see it every morning. It's the same thing with church, right? They're going to know what you love and what you prioritize by what you do. So if you love it, you're going to be there. And they're going to know it. They're going to see the infectious joy that you have from talking to others. They're going to know that you enjoy God's word and learning from it. They're going to see you sing. They're going to see you either taking notes or praying or whatever you do in the pew, and they're going to observe it. So I just think it comes from your affections. And so where your treasure is, there your heart is, and there is how you spend your time. And so I think a lot of that is just caught even more than it's taught.
So we have always, which I'm sure you guys have, there's plenty of you that do the same thing, but we have just always made, no matter where we are, vacation or sick or, you know, here, that we either watch church online or we are going to church wherever we are. So we don't take a Sunday off. I'm trying to think if we have done that. But even if we're in the car, we'll like stream it through the speakers and the kids will kind of moan a second, but they love it. But that has just always been the thing. So sometimes when we're on vacation or out of town, the kids will say, where are we gonna go to church this week? So it's just, you know, something that we've just always said, we will not skip this because we love it and we're not gonna skip.
Yeah, I thought, as we talked about it, they suggested I share what I shared with them about how my parents modeled it to me. When I was in fourth grade, our family moved to Northern Virginia. Some of you read, if you read the 60th anniversary little book that was handed out, you may have heard some of this. But when we moved here, and I was in fourth grade, my parents looked for a good church. We were living in Kings Park. And there wasn't one in the area, and so five families helped start Emmanuel. So I got to watch my parents invest their entire lives in starting a church, because you can imagine with five families, you can't be a pew potato. It is just not possible. You have five or six or 10 different jobs to do. So I watched my parents sacrifice. I would see them buy things and take them to church, furniture or whatever was needed. I watched my dad build little shelves in a Sunday school room for my mom when she was teaching five-year-old Sunday school. They used our home for hospitality. My dad was the church treasurer. I knew about the finances of the church. And I would watch him. I would watch my parents give generously and sacrificially. So that spoke volumes to me. So and I'll say this while I'm thinking of it now. None of us have a choice about our heritage, right? And you may not have come from that kind of a background, but you can leave a legacy, mm-hmm. can't you? And so the example of parents is just so influential. Like they've already said, kids know exactly what you love.
That is encouraging and an amazing reminder of like kids remember these little tiny things of like, no, you always do this. And so, you know, sometimes you get the question of like, well, why aren't you doing that? You're supposed to be doing that right now. And so to have that even now as your kids have gotten older and be like, we're supposed to go to church on Sunday. Like, are we thinking about that already? I hope we've thought ahead. That is an encouraging reminder of that faithfulness, even in the little years, pays off in the older years. So a little bit of a dreaded topic, which is the Sunday school sickies. So you know the drill. You drop your kid off in Sunday school or nursery or wherever they go on Sunday morning. Everything's fine and dandy, and then Tuesday someone wakes up puking. Yep. Wednesday someone wakes up with a fever, and the rest of your week is shot. Yeah, and you know exactly where it came from. It came from church. Okay? We don't necessarily have to sugarcoat it all the time. It comes, you know, that's what happens. When you get people together, they get sick. So especially these days, it's winter. Everybody's getting sick. So what, do you have any sort of like practical suggestions or encouragement during this time of year when it just feels like if I go to church and I put my kid in Sunday school, they're just going to get, we're just going to be sick all winter and not going to be able to do anything.
Okay, so I'm saying this carefully because I don't want to sound bad, but we looked at the guidelines, and if we met the guidelines, we went. And if one person didn't meet the guidelines, then they stayed home with an adult and watched church online. And before church was online, I think we watched, I don't remember what we did. We did something that was like our own church. And there's been a couple of times over the years where there were several people that were pretty sick and we didn't want to miss. And I think this was before online was a huge thing. And we would come and either sit in the atrium or like out in the lobby, all in a table all to ourselves. And we would listen and then we would go home. So that was kind of how we did that. But we come a lot.
We survived!
We did it.
All right, thinking of it from a different perspective. Let's say you're healthy, and you want to stay that way. What do you do? So I would say, I do too. I really, you know, we all want to stay healthy. But the thing is, we're in this broken world, and we're going to get sick. And so I would just say, for the heart of it for me is to trust the Lord. And so I just know that it is a matter of me just saying, Lord, I'm going to obey you in going to church, and I'm gonna receive the blessing of church. And if on Tuesday I receive the blessing of the flu, then I do, you know. But it really is, it's a daily trust in the Lord. And I know really truly sickness is an anxiety driver for many people. And so I just would say to encourage you to just run to the Lord with that and give it to him, turn that over to him and ask him to help you to trust him and that he will care for you even in the middle of a sick week. And he'll provide for you in some pretty beautiful ways too. I don't know if you've ever had a friend deliver you a meal or bring you a Starbucks or something when a kid is sick, and it's a blessing, and we can be doing that for each other. That's part of church. So I would just say, trust the Lord with it, and it's totally worth it if you get sick. And they're building immunities.
So I should mention that I was never really afraid of the kids getting sick. I'm the one that gets all the things. And I learned very early on in my life that there was nothing I could do to avoid germs or even to get them. Like chickenpox party, you know. Anyway, but so it's just one of those things you hand over to the Lord, right? And that verse, perfect love casts out fear. And, you know, I'm just not going to be afraid of that because I want the Lord's presence and I want to be around people in a safe way, not when I'm, you know, having a fever. But still, like, he's going to control that.
You all said it beautifully. I don't really have much to add, but, you know, practically speaking, we can work at building our own immune system and our kids' immune systems the best that we can by watching diet. And, you know, there's a lot we can do to help that. But each of us has a unique situation, so I just want to emphasize that we have to be careful, that we're not worried about what other people think. This is between us and the Lord when we're making those decisions, and we want to be careful that we're supportive of each other, because they're hard decisions, aren't they? And so I think we all three agree. This is a matter of our heart before the Lord, right? And we're seeking wisdom from him. So.
Yeah, and it's not an easy thing to know, like, you start hearing about, oh, so-and-so in this class went home sick, or, you know, oh, my friend just said her kids got sick. It sure is coming for me. Even as far as practical, I mean, Lori, my son, had a nose that was not up to guidelines on Sunday, so he could not go to nursery, and Luke came, and he sat in the atrium with him, and Luke came for one service. He sat in the atrium with him, and that was all he did, and, you know, granted, he didn't hear a whole ton of the sermon, if we're being honest, but he was there, he was present, he got to talk with some of the people from church, which is huge, especially, I mean, you know, if you have a sick kid, you're trapped at home, okay? You can't go anywhere, you're not supposed to be going anywhere anyway. So being able to just be like, okay, I was able to talk to a couple of people, you know, he wasn't dying on the floor, and we were fine. So, you know, something as simple as that is like, okay, we can figure out how to make this a priority with the parameters that we have in our family at the moment and what we have going on. So when we talk about then church and church services, and we're talking about over and over about how we need to make that a priority. We have to be able to do this, even when it's hard or scary or there's things coming down the line that we're like, I don't know if we should be doing this. Can we talk about some of the wonderful ways the church services have blessed you guys over the years, when you went and you realized it was a good thing, you know?
Kathy's first.
So I just want to make sure we're on question 5, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Just make sure I'm answering the right question. So I would say one of the things that happened when our kids were little and coming to church, I mean, they're going to the nursery and to the toddler class, but they are getting a perception of who God is through the people who are loving them, right? And so that was a blessing for us, just to see the love that they received. And the truth, Awana, memorizing scriptures when they were really little was so valuable, and we would see the payoff later on. I was thinking of a time that our oldest son was in a situation years after he had been in Awana, learning memory verses, and a verse came to his mind. He had a very difficult situation where he had to tell on someone else, which, you know, is always hard. And the verse came to his mind from James that if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, it's sin. And that was something that he had learned many, many years earlier. So, you know, just that affirmation of truth, and they're seeing it in, you know, corporately, that makes a huge difference. I would say in addition to that, watching people suffer. That is part of being a church body, right? The body of Christ, the church universal, is the body of Christ. The church local, we get to view that in a very real way. And as we live life together in close relationships, we get to watch other people suffer and trust the Lord. That has made a huge impression on my kids over the years. That started when they were little. They were being held in the nursery. And we were talking about some really endearing stories about Sunday school teachers. I'll bet if we talked about Sunday school, there are many of you who grew up in the church who would remember Sunday school teachers from when you were little, who had such an impact on you. That actually starts when they're little. Recently, our family attended a wedding, and our children saw people that they had known from the time they were very, very little. And it was so refreshing. Even today, one of my kids who doesn't even live in the area told me about someone he texted who he'd heard was ill and facing some suffering. And, you know, I mean, he's 35 and not even attending the church anymore, but those relationships started when they were little. Now, I want to say, I realize many of you are transient and you're military or you're moving for a wide variety of reasons, and you don't have that longevity, but you have breadth of relationships. You might not have depth of relationships, but you have rich relationships that you will be able to refer back to with your children as to the impact those relationships had even when they were little.
We're a military family, and that was a lot of our story when we first got married was our very first duty station. My husband was gonna deploy like 5 months after we got married. And so we didn't really plug in. We found a church to go to, and that was the worst choice. And every move we made, which was like almost every year for the next, you know, almost decade,
what was the first thing we did, and it was more than just go to a service. We had to find people, and we had to be in a place that would be really life on life filling us up, because it was such a stark difference when we did not put that first, and we vowed never to make that mistake again. But I will go back to the, you know, my, when I had kid number four, my oldest was still three. So 3, 2, 1, and 0, I spent, you know, years swinging a kid in the back of the church and hoping they would go to sleep. And as strung out as I was, there was always something that the Lord gave me. I never left a Sunday without something to think about through the week. And that was such a special gift, because there was so, I had so little margin and capacity in my mind and even like energy wise, but I never left being like, oh, I should have just slept this morning. I mean, never. So the Lord is so faithful to take what you can offer and to give you something that's just life. It's just life to your soul. And so I know you guys have experienced that too, because that's not just a thing that he's done for me, but it is a promise to remember.
Well, I would agree with everything you all said. Susanna Spurgeon calls the church the dearest place on earth. And I would totally agree with that. She says it well, because it is the only place that is going to be also eternal, right? Nowhere else is. And so it's a beautiful thing to think that the place we come every Sunday is eternal. Of course, I'm not talking about the building, but I'm talking about the people. And so that's a beautiful thing to think that we have these relationships that we're forging here, but they're going to be eternal. You are sisters, and that's a beautiful thing. And so to think about that, of course, relationally is invaluable. But I also was thinking about it from the perspective of teaching. And, you know, I'm kind of married to the pastor, so I thought that. I actually grew up also in a home of a pastor. And I would say, just growing up under the teaching of the word, I have to say it's a blessing that you're giving to your children. You're giving your children instruction for how they're going to live their life, the decisions they make, where they're going to go to school, who their friends are going to be, what employment they're going to have, you know, what theology they believe. They're learning that in Sunday school, and they're learning that from the pulpit. And so the more truth that they're hearing and instruction they're being given, it's not a guarantee for their salvation, but it's building blocks towards the Holy Spirit going to do the work that he's going to do. And it's not up to us, it's up to him. But I would just say it's informing also your own soul on how to be a wife, how to be a mother, and how to be a believer. And so I would just say you're doing something good for yourself every time you're instructed by the word of God, and that's a blessing.
Yeah, I can remember, I grew up in a Christian home, and so I don't remember a time where I didn't know who Jesus was. Like, yeah. I may not have, you know, put my trust in him always, but I always knew who he was. And even now, my brother, who is not a believer, lives out his life with many of the Christian, you know, morals that he was taught, because that's what he knew as a kid. So no matter where he goes in life or how far he rejects the gospel, it's always still right here. Because that's what he was taught, and he has no choice but to look it in the face, because he remembers and lives his life that way. And just even that of, like, if I could give my child the opportunity to never not know who Jesus is, to always have that, and to always be reminded of that weekly, it would be a huge gift, and would be a blessing to me to then, you know, someday when they go away to college, to be like, okay, they heard Jesus every week, yeah. One way or another, even if I failed miserably at home, we were at church and they heard the gospel, mm-hmm. one way or another. So in that, like, making church a priority, do you guys have kind of practical tips on how to make church easier? You know, how to make if you have little kids and you're trying to do, if you've got a morning nap, that's disrupted. If you've got an afternoon nap, you got to run home. Somewhere is lunch. If you've got, you know, if you're running back for Awana in the afternoon, then that's a whole lot too. So what kind of practical advice can you give us, having done that with your littles, of how can we make Sunday morning just more achievable for us?
Sunday morning, start Saturday night. So lay out the clothes Saturday night. Jesse used to make fun of me for this, but he now does it. So we all know. So put out your clothes and put out your kids' clothes and make sure that they fit. Because that was always the thing where either mine or the kids' clothes didn't fit. And you never know which it was going to be. So make sure your clothes fit. And have it, one of my friends would say from head to toe. So if you're going to put a bow in, just get all the things figured out the night before. And it really does make Sunday morning a lot easier and a lot smoother. Inevitably, something's going to happen, but it does help things to go faster. And then food, we always had granola bars. I wouldn't try to cook anything on Sunday morning. So that, and then we always had breakfast for lunch. So it was just like really, I always knew what we were doing, like making eggs or pancakes or something. So the ingredients were always there, and never had to go to the store. So just keep life simple, streamline it.
Mm-hmm. My mind's blown back here, sorry. One thing that I learned the really hard way with lots of tinies is that, and I don't do this anymore, but I did for a long time, is have a change of clothes for every person in your trunk all the time. So that you don't have to wear the sweater with poop all over it to a funeral or in the building because you're here. So that has saved me so many times. So just stick something mildly dressy or passable in the trunk and leave it there. It will save you. The other thing that we've always done is we started with two services so that we would have Sunday school and then we would go to church. And you know, if you're not there, I would suggest setting a goal for it, because it is really hard to stay longer when you're used to like that hour and then you've got time. So I would, you know, start long and get used to it, right? So that my kids will get upset if we're not here for three. And you know, sometimes it's like, well, what am I gonna do that third anyway? But then it's a good place to serve too. But it's a place they love and they don't want to leave. And even when they were little, we stayed a long time. And so Sundays were very different. The other thing that I would encourage for those of you who are maybe to the point where you're having your kids sit through the service is to sit with like-minded friends. That made all the difference for our kids. And you know, we put adults every so many kids, but they just loved it. They loved it. And so that was our big trick for getting to big church.
Well, it's been a long time since I had anybody that I was getting ready to take to church. They won't let me do that anymore. But I will say, I remember how hard it was, and probably like Deidre, I was always driving to church by myself with the kids because my husband left way earlier than I did. But one thing that I started doing when they were really little that was helpful was I set a purpose for the morning with them. Not always. But eventually I got into this habit of what's church about and why are we going? And I would give them some little goal of meet somebody new today. And then when they'd get in the car on the way home, did you say hi to anybody? Was there anybody new? I mean, you can do the regular what did you learn kind of thing, but I also wanted them reaching out to other people. So that was one thing, was purpose, and we're just reminding ourselves of why we're going to church. We love Jesus. We're going to worship him. We're going to sing about him. But the second thing that was life-changing, I wish I had figured this out a lot earlier, is praying on the way to church. And Deidre, I think you said you do that too. It's really hard to fight if you're praying. That can work for husbands and wives too, yeah, actually. Yeah. It's a little really tense on Sunday mornings, getting in the car, and you're finally in there together. Yes. Okay, let's pray. But seriously, it just sets our mind. And even when I'm by myself now, I'm in that habit, and I will pray. I'll pray for Pastor Jesse, for all the ministries I can think of in the church, and pray for my own heart and my conversations that I'll have with people, so it just sets a different tone when I get to church. So that's my little practical thing.
Yeah. Awesome.
Those things are so helpful. And, you know, some of those echo, like, things that I have heard, you know, because I've been gleaning information of, like, okay, so how are we doing this? And I'm here for three services. And so it's sort of like, well, what am I doing with a one-year-old for three services? And so many of those things I have heard and so tried to implement, like, we have pretty much the same lunch every single time. And for him, you know, it's like a cheese stick and some other stuff. But it's great. I just always make sure I have cheese sticks in the fridge. And then you get home, you throw it at them, and they're, you know, a lot happier. So things like that, the clothes, the, like, we pack a bunch of food in, you know, the diaper bag or in my purse or something, because you know what helps a mood a lot is
snacks.
A snack, both the adults and the children. Okay. So, you know, think about ways that you can even simplify your Sunday morning. It, you know, the Lord doesn't call us to come in a certain dress or, you know, to show up in a certain way. He calls us to come, to worship Him, to fellowship, to hear His word. And so what can we be doing to just simplify the morning for ourselves so that that is the priority? The priority is we are going and we are going to worship God. And we are taking away the distractions that will keep us from that purpose and perspective. So ladies, thank you so much for sharing. Do you guys have anything else you would like to say? I didn't tell you I was going to ask that, so it's okay if you don't. They're all preparers, so they don't like to go off the cuff. Let me pray for us then. That would be great. Lord, we thank you for the church, for what you gave us, Lord, after you had come, knowing that you were leaving us behind on this earth until your second coming, Lord, that you left us with a body of believers with the purpose of encouraging one another, to build one another up, to hear the teaching of the word, to fellowship together, and just to support each other in a life that is marked by sin, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity and the freedom that we have to attend church so regularly and so joyfully and with so many others, God. Keep that joy and that desire to come at the forefront of our minds as we're staring down even the Christmas holidays and parties come up and sicknesses come up and families in town. And there's just so many things that can take away our focus from we worship on Sunday mornings, Lord. Allow that to be at the forefront of our minds, especially in this season, but then going forward, God, that we come to worship you and that it is rest and it is joy for our souls. We love you, Lord, and in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you guys have a little bit of time at your, you have a little bit more time at your discussion tables. Don't worry, you'll clap in a second.